Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium-ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show.
Glad to be here, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Do we have a special offer for our listeners?
Let's do the half off for new subscribers to VRTrader.com. So you go to VRTrader.com, and when you get to the order page, and there's a promo code spot, enter the promo code of 2022 half off. I think it's all in lowercase, 2022 half off, and you get 50% off of any of the newsletters for any time frame you specify. Also, I generally like to make that disclaimer that I'm a newsletter publisher. I'm not a financial advisor. Nor do I provide financial advice. Did that years ago, but no longer in the money management business.
How would you describe what's going on with the stock markets right now?
Well, we've entered a potentially treacherous time zone. You know, as we get toward, you know, September is generally the worst month of the year. Labor Day is coming up in a week here in the U.S. And, you know, we're in that time frame where, you know, historically you got to be a bit careful. Nothing's 100%, but that's also a factor. Right now, the street's got its tongue hanging out, so to speak, for the Jackson Hole meeting in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, which is, I think, started officially today, but the actual Jay Powell speech or presentation is tomorrow morning. I think it's 10 a.m. Eastern time. So everybody's looking for clues that he's going to confirm. Well, everybody's suspecting a interest rate decline in September, which is not guaranteed. It may not occur, and the occurrence of which is not necessarily bullish. The market's already pretty much discounted with the huge move it's had in recent months, a discount rate cut, regardless of the fact that you know, hadn't occurred. And, you know, history says sometimes when that occurs, it's actually a negative event because things are not good. We have inflation. Ayn Rand years ago said that inflation is not caused by actions of private citizens, as the Democrats here in the U.S. are saying, but it's caused by government. It's caused by an artificial expansion of the money supply required to support the deficit spending. So bottom line is, you know, the Democratic Convention, they're talking about the price controls, which is, you know, socialism or worse. And it's not controlling prices, it's controlling inflation. So they're going about it the wrong way and blaming the wrong people. And the inflation numbers are much higher than they're indicating. You know, as I said many times, I don't believe most of the government statistics are accurate, but everybody reports them as if they're solid gold. We just heard that there was, you know, big misrepresentation in the in a government report just this past was a week ago. The administration admitted that there were 800,000 jobs. Was a fake number. Wasn't really. It was fabricated. Between March 2023 and March 2024. So they didn't really exist. That's an article that came out 2 days ago. So you just can't believe any of the numbers. I mean, it's insane that, to me anyway, that the reports are treating as gospel information when we know they're revised or fabricated or politically inspired. So here we go. You know, so we got the Jackson Hole meeting speech tomorrow, and the anticipation of an interest rate cut. So we'll see, you know, what that's all about. You know, so seemed to me you sell them, buying the rumors, sell them the news. Maybe that's why the market was down today, thinking it'll be, though the rate won't be cut tomorrow, the anticipation of it's time to sell stocks. So we've had a big bounce here after that mini crash, you know, over a week ago. So I'm short the market. You know, I'm in an inverse ETF position, and I think we're going to get at least 700 points more to the downside here short term, and then we'll just sort of take it from there. You know, a lot of manipulation, I said, of the numbers and the markets, and but cycle, sort of say, you're in a negative time frame. Of course, we've got, people think I'm crazy about this, but, you know, I've been following this since 1972, the relation of the moon cycles and the seasonal cycles and so forth to the market, and there's a strong correlation. In fact, we had a full moon just a couple of days ago, and I put out in the newsletter potential change of direction to the downside. So maybe we're starting to see that here. We've got a new moon coming up September 2nd, right around Labor Day. So we'll see what that's all about. And, of course, we've got the seasonal change of direction on the solstice, on the equinox, in September 22nd. So, you know, we're in this time frame for a lot of crazy things could happen. And we heard today or read today that sunspots are at their numbers are at a 20-year high, and sunspots are not a good thing. I mean, the Carrington event in the 19th century was caused by a huge sunspot, you know, directed toward the Earth. So, you know, that risk always exists, and it has been going on, but not much discussion about that in the press. But we know satellites have been damaged by it already, and a strong one could have cataclysmic effects on the planet, assuming that ever that happened. So, you asked me a question. The market, you know, bearish here. It's been really volatile. I think, you know, the net, it should drop here, you know, in the days ahead, and then we'll see if the street gets excited and tries to rally it. But they'd be doing it in a seasonally negative time frame. So we've had a lot of black swans, unexpected events in recent months. You know, we don't have to go all over them, but, you know, including the assassination attempt on Trump and, the crash in the Nikkei index because of the raise of interest rates in Japan, which supposedly triggered the big crash here. Just out of the left field, just stuff just constantly, comes at us here. And, there's something, we can't control. And we just have to, watch the numbers and act accordingly. But this is not a good time to be long the market. We've had a huge move. We are on a negative time frame. And I suppose if we get enough of a shakeout, you know, there'll be another buying opportunity here for a year-end rally. A lot, of course, depends on the political outcome in here, which is, I don't want to make the broadcast political because I have my, point of view, but there could be a lot of, potential violence or civil war risk here in the U.S. if the outcome doesn't please a certain sector of the political spectrum. So, it's, I think, dangerous times, and we've been in dangerous times before, and the powers that be always seem to try to rally the market. So, I'm not saying get out of the market altogether or anything like that, but you got to be aware of these things and trade accordingly. So now's a good time to be in treasury bills and sort of watch the market. And if you're like me, take a short position and play it accordingly.
What's going on with gold?
Well, it stuck its head up into new highs by a few points and now backed off a bit. And, you could say it's another top formation, triple or quadruple top. You know, it gets up to this 2500 area. It seems to back away. They throw the baby out with the bathwater. You know, when the market dropped last week and today, and gold backed off, so it tends to follow the markets. And It's not totally independent or inverse or anything like that. So we got to watch the charts. The charts, you know, a little toppy here, the last day or two, but it doesn't change, I think, the big trend, which is up. But we always run the risk in the gold market, as we've had several times in the last 10 years. You get these $300-$400, you know, dollar corrections out of the blue and shake everyone out, and it goes up again. So, you know, that could happen in the fall here, possibly, in this negative cyclical time frame. You know, silver has been underperforming, and that's sort of a negative divergence I see. Some of the gold indexes are up, but not into new highs as gold is, so that's a negative divergence. You know, a couple individual stocks like Agnico Eagle, for example, made a new all-time high. There are some good ones, but not everyone is participating. So you got to decide, you know, what your time frame is. Is it forever, in which case you've been buying since the 1980s and you don't care since it's up, you know, was it 10 times or more in price, or you trade it? I'm keeping the positions because I think there's just too much tumult in the world. We have the BRIC Nation issue, you know, a lot of political uncertainty. Big, you know, countries like Russia and China are accumulating it. So I think, you know, you got to keep a core position. So I'm holding my positions despite some of the negative, you know, mentions that I just put out there, but and even drop 300 or 400, I don't think it would change the trend. So staying positive, but be aware we're in this short-term time frame where if the markets sell off, you can see another pullback.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, what's the story for crude?
It's been in a correction. It still seems to be in a correction here, which, you know, in theory should be bullish for stocks. Down crude oil puts more money in the pockets of companies and people, and you know, it's generally, you know, overall positive. All I can say is it's a correction. I'm overall bullish, big picture, but we're, you know, we've come down here a little bit. I'm looking at the crude oil chart. It might be double bottoming here in the low 70s. So we have to watch it here. It could possibly bottom out here and take off again. If it does, that's negative for stocks, as I mentioned. It's already had a correction, so it doesn't look particularly bearish to me here. It's already had a nice shakeout, you know, from the mid-80s all the way to the low 70s. So I'm holding, you know, names like Occidental Petroleum and some of the oil indexes, particularly with, you know, geopolitical issues and so forth. You know, there's still a lot of risk to the oil supplies. Things could still happen. So I'm holding positions on a trading basis. It looks like we might be hitting a little double bottom here. So let's see what happens.
Is Dr. Copper telling us anything?
Well, Dr. Copper, and I try to use names like Freeport, McNamara as the, you know, sort of an indicator for it, had a, you know, wash out with the stock market, came down with other stocks when we had the Nikkei disaster here back on August 5th. It bounced and now it's pulling off again. So it's following the market right now. And I would say short-term, a little negative here. Had a nice correction, bounced, and now it's trying to correct again. What's your time frame? As a trader, I would have been in and out of it already this past week. I didn't trade it, but I would say it looks like it's pulling back here again with the overall market. So I'm going to take the overall market excuse here. Be careful here, because as the market drops, gold and copper and, you know, and all industrial stuff, metals could pull back here short term. There's nothing to indicate it's about to explode to the upside and take out the highs. And we read and heard that industrial production has been down over the last 10 months. You know, a lot of copper would be used in the industries that, you know, were involved in that index. So maybe the demand for copper isn't as strong here as we think. And if there's a recession going on, which the press doesn't talk about, that could affect copper as well. Consumers aren't spending as much. We talked last week about how they're not going to restaurants and many are closing. Car sales are slipping a bit. So demand for copper, particularly in a recessionary environment, may not be strong, and the big run-up may be anticipating something that really wasn't going to happen. So I'd be careful here, and let's wait for further confirmation. I would suspect a pullback here more than we've already seen.
About 70% of the U.S. economy is consumer-driven, and the latest trend is young people are trying to show TikTok things and how they're trying to save money and not be consumers. Is that a long-term concern?
Yeah, if you say the younger generation, I haven't seen any of these numbers, but definitely that would be a negative for the economy. We already know a lot of discretionary, you know, funds like for restaurants and stuff has been suffering. So, I can't go out that far. You know, I'm more of a trader. I would just say, you know, short term, you know, it depends on what the economy does here, whether the young people are getting jobs and what the employment situation is, which is really tenuous here because the numbers really haven't been correct. And a lot of the government, the government numbers are supporting an increase in jobs and activity, but a lot of it is government-related jobs, not necessarily industrial or normal business type of jobs. So there's a distortion of what's going on out there. I would say there's concern here because we're, you know, technically in a recession. So I think that would affect their spending. In fact, the stock market was up and much of it could have been manipulated higher, and a lot of it was related to the AI craze. Doesn't mean the average guy is making money on his job or getting a raise or even keeping his job. So we're in a more treacherous time frame here than people are willing to talk about. So I would agree with that.
What's going on with cryptos?
They haven't fully recovered from the Mt. Gox debacle here from a few weeks ago. Bitcoin got a real slam dunk for a while, then it slam dunked again with the market when we had the Nikkei incident here in the last 10 days or so. I don't know. This is like gold. You know, what's your perspective? What's your time frame? You know, as long as Larry Fink and BlackRock is behind their ETFs, they created those huge ETFs, and they're the largest money management firm in the world. Their belief is there's a big future for Bitcoin. We had a shakeout here, you know, basically from 72,000 down to the 40,000 area. So that's a pretty nice correction, and I can't imagine why buying some or holding some at these levels long term wouldn't be a wise move, particularly with sponsors like that. So corrective phase. You can't compare it to gold because gold obviously went to a new high and this didn't, so it's its own world, and maybe it's still suffering from the Mt. Gox situation, and I don't have all the details, but essentially the bankruptcy of the Bitcoin platform from, you know, back in, was it 2008 or 2009 level, you know, that apparently they're trying to repay those that lost money in the bankruptcy, and that's putting pressure on Bitcoin. And when Bitcoin's under pressure, all the cryptos go with it. But the trend seems to be after these huge runs in the Bitcoin, you know, it seems to be in a couple year cycle or so, it takes off again. So we may still be in that corrective cycle. We got to 73,000 twice, double topped, and pulled back into the 40s. And, we're just sort of watching it here to see if enough time has passed to start another strong advance to the upside. So I keep, a core position in the Bitcoin because of the long-term potential and the fact that it's an alternate currency. And if you don't trust governments and so forth, it's a good place to have some money The other hand is you don't have to have the coin. You can trade the ETFs like GBTC, which is one. Was it ITB, which is the BlackRock version? So basically, overall positive, short term, it's just sort of trending sideways here to higher after the big slam dunk here in the last couple of weeks. So I wouldn't be running out of my away from my crypto positions. If you're trading day to day, that's a different story. But I think it had enough of a shakeout, Jim, that your a lot of your risk is out of it, you know, that we had before.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Great to be here. Talk to you next week. Thank you.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. If you have any questions for Mark or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street or also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.